We'll come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I would like to impose a call to the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Pogemiller.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with. The sergeant. Instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The chaplain for today's special session is Monsignor James D. Habiger from the University of St. Thomas, and then remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good evening, God. On the occasion of this special session, we ask that you remind us often who we are and why we are. We are not the coinage of the realm stamped with the head of Caesar. Rather, we are the coinage of the kingdom stamped with the very imago Dei, the image of the living God. Male and female, you created us in your own image and likeness. We thank you, gift-giving God, for the opportunity of bringing your care, your comfort, your compassion to your people who are suffering from the ravages of flood. Gift us with hunger and thirst to see right prevail and single-minded in seeking justice and peace. Hold close in your love our service people and all the innocent victims of war and violence. Hold in the palm of your hand all the victims of 9/11, both living and dead. Finally, we pray that you keep us thankful and hopeful and useful until this life shall end. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nice to hear you. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah. Attention. Attention. Why don't we take a moment of silence as we keep in our minds and place before our God all the victims of 9/11. May the living receive justice, and may the dead receive peace. Amen.
The secretary will call the roll by legislative districts in numerical order.
As I call your name, your district and your name, please answer present. From the 1st District, Leroy A. Stumpf. From the 2nd District, Rod Skoy. From the 3rd District, Tom Saxhog. From the 4th District, Mary Olson. 4th District, Mary Olson. From the 5th District, David J. Tomasoni. From the 6th District, Thomas M. Bach. From the 7th District, Yvonne Pretner Solon. From the 8th District, Tony Laurie.
Why don't we stay seated and keep quiet while we take the roll call, will you, please? Continue on, Secretary.
From the 9th District, Keith Langseth. From the 10th District, Dan Scogan. From the 11th District, Bill Ingebritsen. From the 12th District, Paul E. Coring. From the 13th District, Joseph R. Gimsey. From the 14th District, Michelle L. Fishbach. From the 15th District, Terrell L. Clark. From the 16th District, Betsy L. Wergen. From the 17th District, Rick Olsen. From the 18th District, Steve Dill. 19th District, Amy T. Koch. From the 20th District, Gary W. Kubley. From the 21st District, Dennis R. Fredrickson. From the 22nd District, Jim Vickerman. From the 23rd District, Kathy Sharon. From the 24th District, Julie A. Rosen. From the 25th District, Thomas M. Neville. From the 26th District, Dick Day. From the 27th District, Dan Sparks. From the 28th District, Steve Murphy. From the 29th District, David H. Senjum. From the 30th District, Ann Lynch. From the 31st District, Sharon Erickson Ropes. From the 32nd District, Warren Limmer. From the 33rd District, Jen Olson. From the 34th District, Julianne E. Ortman. From the 35th District, Claire A. Roebling. From the 36th District, Pat Parasol. From the 37th District, Chris Gerlach. From the 38th District, Jim Carlson. From the 39th District, James P. Metzen. From the 40th District, John Dahl. From the 41st District, Jeff Michelle. From the 42nd District, David Hyen. From the 43rd District, Terry Bonoff. From the 44th District, Ron Latz. From the 45th District, Ann H. Rest. From the 46th District, Linda Scheid. From the 47th District, Leo T. Foley. From the 48th District, Michael J. Jungbauer. From the 49th District, Debbie J. Johnson. From the 50th District, Satvir Chaudhry. 51st District, Don Betzold. From the 52nd District, Ray Vandeveer. From the 53rd District, Sandy Rummel. From the 54th District, John Marty. From the 55th District, Charles W. Wieger. From the 56th District, Kathy Saltzman. From the 57th District, Katie Sieben. From the 58th District, Linda Higgins. From the 59th District, Lawrence J. Pogemiller. From the 60th District, D. Scott Dibble. From the 61st District, Linda Berglund. From the 62nd District, Patricia Torres Ray. From the 63rd District, Daniel G. Larson. From the 64th District, Richard J. Cohen. From the 65th District, Sandra Pappas. From the 66th District, Ellen R. Anderson. And from the 67th District, Mi Moi.
Quorum is present. Without objection, Senator Bach and Vickerman and Sieben will be excused from today's session all day. The next on the agenda is the proclamation for a special session from the governor.
State of Minnesota proclamation.
It's on your desk.
Proclamation for special session 2007. Whereas the Minnesota Constitution allows the governor to call a special session of the legislature on extraordinary
occasion. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, the resolution is on your desk, so I'm going to ask the president to suspend reading of that unless there's an objection. Should be on your desk.
Seeing no objections.
Looks like this, members.
Seeing no objections, so ordered. Next order of business is motions and resolutions.
Senators Pogemiller and Senjum introduce Senate Resolution Number 1, a Senate resolution relating to organization and operation of the Senate during the special session.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, this is on your desk. This is boilerplate special session language. We would be organized under the rules that we normally have in the Senate. There would only be one official committee, the Rules Committee, and in essence, there would be no motion to pull a bill out of the Rules Committee. That would not be allowed. And then finally, with respect to Rule 30, there you can call for reconsideration of a vote, but you can't call for notice of a reconsideration of a vote, because that would then force us into an extra day. So this is boilerplate. We have discussed with Senator Senjum.
Discussion on resolution number one. Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on resolution number one.
All senators
having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes, 0 nays, the resolution is adopted. Continuing on motions and resolutions, there are
Senators Pogemiller and Senjum introduce Senate Resolution Number 2, a Senate resolution relating to notifying the House of Representatives and the Governor that the Senate is organized.
Okay, any...
I move adoption.
On the motion to adopt a Resolution Number 2, discussion, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Continuing on introduction, there are first reading of two... Senate bills. There's a change of authors on Senate file number one.
I'll have to read the introduction. They don't have the
introduction. Okay, apparently we'll have to read the introductions. They're not at the desk, at your desk.
Senators Erickson, Ropes, Lynch, Murphy, Senjum, and Day introduce Senate file number one, a bill for an act relating to disaster relief, providing money to match and supplement federal disaster assistance for property damaged by the floods of August 2007, etc.
Without objection, Senate file number one will be sent to the Rules Committee.
And Senator Berglund introduces Senate file number two, a bill for an act relating to insurance, prohibiting insurers from penalizing insureds for certain types of motor vehicle claims, and from providing certain incorrect information regarding the effect of motor vehicle claims, etc.
Without objection, Senate File 2 will be also referred to the Rules Committee. So moved.
So ruled.
Mr. President,
Senator Pogemiller,
if I might, then we're going to recess.
Listen for instructions. What's happening next?
We're going to recess, and let me explain. Senator Senjum and I have discussed this. We're going to recess now for caucus, and then there will be a Rules Committee at 6. If there's a reason for the Rules Committee, Senator Senjum, to be delayed, Senator Senjum, you know, we can obviously consider that. It's been noticed for 6. And what we would do in the Rules Committee at 6 is go over the bill that was informally discussed in the Finance Committee. And I'm just looking for a nod, Senator Cohen. The Finance Committee's been through the bill, and you would be prepared to help us and the author tell us where we're at? Okay. I don't believe there's an intent to take up the Berglund bill that was introduced. She has some language in there that she wants considered for the other bill, but that's another matter. So I think we're only going to be dealing with the one bill. And as I understand it, the bill that will be introduced in the House is not exactly the same. They're not natural companions. Not to worry. What our intent, and we've discussed this with the President and with Senator Senjum, I think what we'll do is we have to wait for the House to send us the bill anyway, so because there is bonding in it. So we will discuss the Erickson Ropes bill in the Rules Committee until people are comfortable, and then I think we will pass it out of the Rules Committee in all likelihood and send it to the floor, and then gather and discuss the bill that has come out of our Rules Committee. When the House file comes over, we potentially could be done with that before the House file came over, or we might not be done with it. But when the House file comes over, the intent would be to send the House file to the Rules Committee so that then the Rules Committee can see what we got and everybody will feel comfortable that nothing's happening too fast. And then we would process the House file out of the Rules Committee. It may be as simple as, it may or may not, don't know, it may be as simple as adopting the language that we had already adopted in the Senate file onto the House file in the Rules Committee. Then we would have, it may be that simple, it may not be that simple, we'll just have to see. Then we would process the House file to the Senate floor and presumably get a suspension of the rules, and then process the House file and send it back to the House. Hopefully the House would adopt the bill then, and it would go to the, or if we haven't made any changes, it would go directly to the governor. If we had made some changes, then it would go back to the House, and they could either take the bill or theoretically there could be a conference committee. I would not anticipate that, but theoretically there could be. What we're trying to do is figure out a way to accommodate members of the House and the Senate who may have ideas that should be incorporated on a consensus basis. I didn't say unanimous, but I'm consensus, where pretty much the full Senate thinks that's a good idea. I don't anticipate that there will be a whole lot of amendments in the Senate. But I have, as you know, I have no way of controlling that. I'm just am not aware of a whole bunch of amendments. Obviously, Senator Senjum and I are open to ideas. So the Senate is open to ideas. So this has been an attempt, members, to not negotiate the total details of the bill without the bodies of the House and the Senate, but to allow a special session to take place so the governor had enough comfort that he would be willing to call a session. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish today. And so we obviously want members, if they have ideas that they think should be in that flood relief bill, the Erickson Ropes bill, we obviously would like to discuss those in the Rules Committee. Again, you don't have to discuss it in the Rules Committee. I just think that would be more orderly. Because I'm just sensing that anything that's not discussed in the Rules Committee will probably have a difficult time on the Senate floor. But again, I don't know that. I'm just trying to give a sense of what I think would be the most orderly process. What we want is people to know what's going on. If the House amends the bill that they're introducing, we will get those amendments passed out to members as soon as we have them. And then, again, we would discuss whatever we're going to discuss in the Rules Committee first. And then, obviously, a bill coming out of rules could be amended on the floor. We would hope that members would not feel the need to do that because it's been processed in an orderly fashion. But, again, that's obviously a prerogative of any member of the Senate. So, again, I don't know if Senator Senjum wants to add anything, but we encourage you, if you have ideas for amendments, please, it would be most orderly if we were able to discuss those in the Rules Committee. So any questions, or Senator? I would yield to Senator Senjum.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I would only say this, and maybe exercise a little caution. I think that we came here today to operate under the framework of a document. Maybe not all in place and every blank and every square, but to operate within the framework of a document. And I think there's been a lot of good work that's gone into framing up a bill. And, you know, we're all pretty good at amendments, but I would encourage the Senate to hold the line, to work within the framework of the bill that we have, and let's not get too excited about making it an all-everything bill. We do have February coming, and this bill, in and of itself, I think will lend itself to doing a great deal in terms of bringing forth some relief in southeastern Minnesota and other areas of the state. So my caution would be to stay within the framework of the bill. Don't get too excited about amendments. If there are some that just are very natural and ought to be included, sure. But extraneous amendments, I would urge the membership to be very cautious about that.
Okay. Mr. President?
Without objection, Majority Leader, we've got a message from the Senate, or from the House, excuse me. We'll take that up before the recess.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform you the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is now duly organized for the 2007 special session pursuant to law. Signed, Albany Mathews, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, and I just want to reiterate one more time. As Senator Day often says, we all have election certificates. So these have just been suggestions. Everybody is an independent elected member of the Senate. I do not want to suppress debate or anything else. I just encourage members to use their best judgment. So, Mr. President, then I would move that the Senate recess to the call of the chair and
may want to announce where the caucuses are, what rooms are in.
I will. Senator Cohen thinks that the Rules Committee can probably process its work in about a half hour. So let's try to come back at 6:45. And at that point, we would hopefully discuss the Erickson Ropes bill, or Senate File 1. And the Senator Senjum, you're meeting in 107.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. Majority Leader, I forget. We're meeting on, I think, on the one on that other side, right?
107.
107.
I'm looking for the Majority Caucus. Do you want to meet in 112 or in the retiring room?
Retiring room.
We will meet in the retiring room. The Majority Caucus will meet in the retiring room. Free coffee. I move that we recess. To the call of the chair, probably 6:45.
On the motion by Senator Pogemiller, all those in favor to recess signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. Senator Pogemiller.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, let me suggest that we proceed in this fashion. The Rules Committee has processed Senate File 1. We believe it's in the shape that people are comfortable with, but we are waiting for the committee report. And so I propose that we do two things here. First, we have the author, Senator Erickson Ropes, go over the budget sheet that was just passed out, and that we take questions on that and have general discussion. If the committee report is not yet here, I would propose we take up, there's going to be a new Senate File 3, that we would revert to introductions. And Senate File 3 is a bill related to HAVA, the Voting Rights Senator Rest, what's HAVA stand for? Help America Vote Act. And we have been asked by the counties and the interest groups, by the townships, the interest groups, and apparently the governor agrees with this, we believe the House does, to give another delay to implementation of certain machines they have to buy prior to the next election. Apparently there's absolutely no controversy. And I've seen a letter signed by the other three leaders. I'm the only one that hasn't signed it. And the governor is apparently for it. But it can't go as an amendment to Senate File 1 because it's a single subject issue. And so I would propose that if we're still waiting, we're here for flood relief, but if we're still waiting for the committee report, then I would do the process necessary to get this bill to the floor so we could debate it. I'm sure it would take very brief time and hopefully then pass it as a Senate file. Then when we get the committee report for Senate File 1, we will suspend the rules just for the purposes of second reading because we cannot send a Senate file to the House that has bonding in it. So we would discuss it, then lay it on the table, and then wait for the House file. So I think that'll work. And so Senator Senjum and I have discussed it. I believe that committee report will be about a half hour on Senate File 1. So I would like to yield to Senator Erickson Ropes to go over the budget sheet and discuss the bill as introduced, not with the amendments yet because we're waiting for the committee report, and then take general questions and see if we can basically process our way to that point. And then we would revert, if we're still waiting for the committee report, we will try to then process this non-controversial elections bill. So, any questions from members? Okay. Then I would yield to Senator Erickson Ropes.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you very much. I'd also like to thank members for coming back so quickly to deal with flood relief issues for southeastern Minnesota. I know you guys have had busy summers, but the people in southeastern Minnesota, seven counties have been affected, and they are waiting daily for help from the legislature. So I'm really grateful to be here tonight. I'm glad the governor called special session, and I'm grateful to you, my colleagues, for coming back and working long hours so we can give some help to my counties. If you want to just jump right to the spreadsheet, okay. We'll just start at the top. There's federal disaster assistance, emergency management. You can just follow along. $19.5 million, that'll be appropriated to the Department of Public Safety. Then we go down to MnDOT, has appropriations of $51 million for damage to trunk highways, infrastructure, local roads, and bridges. There's $6.7 million going to the DNR to deal with damages to parks and capital improvements to other lands, stream debris removal, and that sort of thing. Bowser gets $4 million for stream bank and land stabilization, flood mitigation efforts, and easements. Then there's $45 million to the Department of Employment and Economic Development for the Minnesota Investment Fund. That'll be grants and loans to small businesses and nonprofits, and also PFA for public infrastructure. The Minnesota Historical Society will be getting $250,000 for assistance on preservation of historic structures. There's $1 million set aside to the MPCA for petroleum cleanup. Housing assistance, Minnesota Housing Finance Agency gets $18 million for capacity building grants, the Housing Challenge Program, and additional disaster relief funds. Minnesota Department of Education. You'll see a whole bunch of school districts listed there. Rushford Peterson School, Mabel Canton School District, Houston School District, Lewiston School District. They all have cleanup costs, additional transportation costs related to transporting students down, as well as some enrollment mitigation for students who leave the disaster-affected area and maybe going out temporarily outside the community. The Department of Health, you know, somebody's going to have to help remind me here, Senator Lynch or Senator Murphy. This is a new addition, the provider maintenance payments. We talked about that in the last committee meeting. I believe that's payments that go out to providers whose residents, for example, nursing homes, might have had to leave the area temporarily, but the providers still have to continue to provide their services. The Department of Revenue gets $24.7 million. No, let's see, where am I? I thought we were looking at $24.7 million for the Department of Revenue, yes. Okay, I'm just looking at some smaller figures here. $1 million for property tax abatements and flood relief to cities. Okay, then continuing down, there's debt service, bonds, and sales. They're looking at $7.5 million. Debt service, open appropriations, $3.7. We're looking at a total flood package relief to southeastern Minnesota of $157,345,000. So I will. Do you want to go into Article 2 and Article 3 as well at this time? Okay. If you flip over, Article 2 is funding for the I-35 bridge collapse. We're putting $2 billion from the general fund to the Department of Public Safety for public infrastructure matching funds, as well as $53.2 million from the Trunk Highway Fund to the Department of Transportation for an adjustment on federal funds. Article 3 deals with other disaster assistance. There are many other areas of Minnesota that have experienced disaster. We're going to continue our commitment to those folks by giving Browns Valley, Crookston, Cook County, and Grand Marais additional funding, as you see before you. The total disaster support for those other areas is $5.3 million. And the bridge disaster, as I mentioned, we're putting $55,237,000 into that account. And I'll stand for questions.
A discussion on the spreadsheet. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And would the author respond to a question?
Sure. She will answer
Thank
a
you.
Question.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just am curious to know the source of the numbers that we're looking at in the bill. How were they arrived at? What was the, the research or the data that supports the numbers that we're seeing? I know that's only been a few weeks since the flood, and I know we've had kind of a brief committee process here, so I'm just curious where these numbers came from, how they were produced, and what they are related to.
Senator Erickson-Robes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Hahn, thank you very much for your question. The numbers that you see before you, and hopefully we'll be looking at legislation shortly, is a result of the three bodies working together, the governor's office, the Senate, and the House. And so each of us have been looking at numbers and gathering numbers to come up with the figures you see before you. We get those numbers as they originate at the local level. Township officers have reported in damages, for example, from roads that have been washed away, bridges that have been damaged. They report up to the counties. The counties report into the EOC, the Emergency Operations Command Center. Cities, the same thing. They've been collecting data. I have many communities that have lost fire trucks. They've lost squad cars, public infrastructure, as well as private homes. All of that information has been gathered at the local level and put into the pipe. I believe most of it's landing in the Department of Public Safety office. So a lot of these figures are based on real numbers. In addition, we're expecting that there's going to continue to be assessments made as we go through the next 6 months and 12 months, continuing understanding of the depth and breadth of damage. So we're pretty confident that the damages are going to go way over $100 million. Although the initial preliminary reports that the governor put out was $67 million. But my local officials have taken a look at that printout and said it's way low. So we have numbers continually coming in. Where we're starting out right now, this bill and these figures are a down payment from the legislature on our future commitment to southeastern Minnesota. Numbers will continue to roll in, but we feel pretty confident that this will put us in the ballpark of getting some effort starting.
Is there further discussion on the spreadsheet? Senator Pogermiller.
Okay, then, Mr. President, I'd move that we revert to bill introductions.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Senators Rest and Laurie introduce Senate File Number 3, a bill for an act relating to elections requiring voting systems accessible to individuals with disabilities in township elections, etc.
First reading.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
I move that an urgency be declared within the meeting of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File Number 3, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File Number 3 its second and third reading and placed on its final passage.
On the motion by Senator Pogermiller to suspend the rules, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Second reading.
Senate File Number 3.
Second reading.
Mr.
Senator Pogermiller.
I yield to Senator Rest.
Senator Rest. Senate File Number 3. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Senate File 3, as Senator Pogermiller explained a little bit earlier, continues the exception for townships to complying with the HAVA Act, which is the Federal Help Americans Vote Act, to delay until after the 2008 elections the requirement to provide the special voting equipment and programming for voters who are disabled. The dollar amount of that new equipment is well over $1 million, which the townships don't have, and even more important, it really doesn't exist. So this is an attempt to allow them to keep working on providing this important service for disabled voters, but it can't be ready in time for the 2008 election, and I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion on Senate File Number 3. Senator Worgen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have any problem with what Senator Rest is doing by any means at all, but is there somewhere that we can see this bill at all?
It's supposed to be online.
Thank you.
There's copies apparently in the front seating area up here. Any further discussion on Senate File Number 3? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the Senate File Number 3 its third reading.
Senate File Number 3, a bill for an act relating to elections, requiring voting systems accessible to individuals with disabilities in township elections, etc.
Secretary will take the roll.
They moved my basket away from up here.
All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I think now it would be appropriate. We don't have the committee report yet, but I think we do have online the bill as originally introduced. Let's see if there's any questions regarding that language. It's online. Members have seen it. And let the various authors of the bill answer any of those questions. And then if we get into the area of amendments, we can perhaps start to talk about what the amendments were as we wait for the committee report. There's nothing in the amendments that's overly exciting. But let's just let's go as far as we can without the committee report, and then we will obviously wait until we have that online and allow members to look at the various amendments. So I would ask Senator Erickson Ropes and the other authors to now answer any questions members have on the language of the original bill, if there are any. Okay, then why don't we have, Senator Erickson Ropes, do you have, and other authors, do you have enough information to start to talk about the changes that were made, the amendments? Even though we don't have the language in front of us, members can get a feel for what those are.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogermiller, are you talking about the amendments in your committee? Thank you. One of the amendments, and again, I appreciate your tolerance and the tolerance of the Rules Committee for help allowing us the time to put together an amendment that has to do with air quality and some of the well testing. In one city in particular, the city of Rushford, they were soaking in flood waters for 3 days. There was raw sewage mixed in. They had a sewage treatment plant failure, and there was also the breach of one of the buildings that housed a large amount of fertilizer that was dispelled into the flood water. So there were quite a few contaminants that people were concerned about, in addition to all the jars and boxes and bins of things that people have in their garages that were added to the mix. So we do have a concern for continuing air quality in the city. After all, the sludge now has been shoveled up and pushed away. It's dried out on the city streets and sidewalks, and people are just brooming that along, and there's dust in the air, and people are wondering what they're breathing. And we're particularly concerned about some areas. For example, one of the schools did have some flooding into the special education room, and we want to make sure that we're tracking the air quality there, especially when we have vulnerable groups, nursing home residents and children that are going back to school. We want to do some testing. So one of the amendments has to do with authorizing the Department of Health to take $100,000 and do additional testing in wells, and then also covers costs for licensed well contractors to decontaminate any wells that have been identified as being over the human health limits threshold for bacteria. The other piece of that has to do with the Department of Health conducting indoor air quality studies and samplings in public facilities and nonprofit organizations, and that would cover Head Start and nursing homes, that sort of thing. This additional funding would come out of the capacity building grant that's already a piece of the current legislation. I will ask Senator Berglund if she would speak to an insurance amendment that was also approved.
Mr. President and members, this amendment deals with the tragedy on the 35W bridge. You may remember that there was a busload of children on that collapsed bridge, and it turns out that you never want to be in an accident in a bus, because those buses, the insurance that they carry really doesn't provide anyone on the bus with any health coverage for the problems that arise. So the children that were on that bus, they have to file against their parents' automobile insurance for recovery of the health expenditures that they have had to make as a result of that accident. And they have encountered implied and stated objections by their insurance companies that their rates would be raised. And that is against state law. And so the amendment and the Department of Commerce and the Governor's Office has promised us that they will send out bulletins to the insurance agencies reminding them that this is illegal. The language that was added to the bill gives the Department of Commerce more enforcement authority for these provisions and requires that these companies promptly inform the insureds who file a claim that in both orally and in writing that they will not have their rates increased. And so this additional enforcement authority is limited to the I-35W bridge collapse. I think, you know, the committee might want to look at whether it should be extended beyond that for others who might be in bus accidents. But for now, my kids are taken care of with this amendment, and so I'm happy that it was included in the bill.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. President. I call on Senator Murphy to talk about some of the changes in the agriculture language that we dealt with, and also opportunities for employment for some of the folks who were displaced from the flood.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, there were a couple of amendments that we did adopt to change some of the language, and I'll start with the portion in the bill that dealt with agriculture. We did change that and added livestock investment grants, organic certification, and also forage production loss offsets for livestock, and also grants to the Board of Trustees for Minnesota State Colleges and University for mental health consulting. It became apparent as the days turned to weeks after the flood that there was much more damage done to the agricultural sector of our neck of the woods than was first thought. That's why working with the House and members of the governor's staff, we came up with several other categories that the Department of Ag could spend this. It's actually $3.7 million on now. We also added in the mental health counseling. I think that for those members who have had areas of their districts that have been affected by some sort of natural disaster, it's prudent that we try to help some of these families struggle with some of the, very very depressing issues that face them, loss of their home, cars, livelihoods, maybe even family members. We felt that it was very prudent to put this section in there to deal with mental health counseling. That was the agriculture portion, and once again, that was all discussed and agreed upon amongst the members of the House and the Senate, obviously our Rules Committee, and then the governor's staff. The other thing that I might want to mention quickly is it'll be a new section in the bill, section 16. We're deleting the current section 16 and inserting language. I don't believe the money changed, but these are national emergency grant from the United States Department of Labor, of Employment and Economic Development. This is for assistance in the area that is called DR 1717. The changes that we put in here basically would give employers not only the ability, but direct them to hire people who have been impacted first. What we found out down in our district is a lot of people are now unemployed. Not only did their homes and cars and everything they own got washed into the creek, but also the business that they worked at is now not in business anymore. We felt it very prudent that instead of using a labor force that might come from outside of the state, that we use, give preference to those people who have been displaced from their jobs first. This was one thing that I think everybody put their arms around and gladly accepted it. Thank you.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to call on Senator Senjum to Senator Senjum, who's going to give us an update on the Department of Revenue's tax amendments. Senator Senjum.
Senator Senjum.
Aye. Thank you, Mr. President. And if there's any levity tonight, maybe this is it, because you have somebody here that knows very little about tax policy that was frankly assigned to talk about this particular element of the bill. And so I'll just do my best. And please don't ask any questions, because I'm going to have to refer them to someone that may not be in the room. In any event, the bill, as it was drafted, dealt with provisions for tax abatement for 2007. As we got into this, and particularly this particular amendment does arrive to us from the Department of Revenue, and by the way, it's been passed by Senator Bach and the House Tax Chair and certainly others, and certainly within the Rules Committee, once understood it, it didn't have any problems at all. But basically what this does is it provides tax abatement opportunities for the people in the affected area in 2008. And it was thought, at least in Rules Committee, it was best to do this because certainly there are apprehensions about coming days and coming obligations. And so this particular amendment gives counties and certainly citizens, affected citizens, the opportunity to look towards 2008. And if life is not at that point all of what we'd like to think it might be, that the opportunity for tax abatement would, in fact, be available in 2008 for the citizens of the affected area. So that is the amendment as I understand it.
Further discussion on the amendments? Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, it's my understanding the committee report is here, so I would move that we revert to reports of committees.
Okay. Under motions and resolutions without objection, Remaining on the order of business and motions and resolutions, the Senate will revert it to the order of business of the reports of committees.
Senator Pogermiller from the Committee on Rules Administration, to which is referred Senate File 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster relief, providing money to match and supplement federal disaster assistance for property damaged by the floods of August 2007, etc., reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended. And when so amended, the bill do pass.
Mr. President.
Motion to adopt.
Mr. President, I do move that the committee report read by the Secretary be adopted.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Suspension of the rules. Got a rules urgency and a suspension of the rules,
I think. Yes. First, though, I want to make sure that this is online now, I believe. I'm asking the desk, is it online or we're making copies? Both, but it's not quite online yet. Okay. Members, my intent is, remember, this is going to have to be a House file. So my intent is to suspend the rules only so far as for a second reading. And then we would hopefully look at the amendments, see if anybody else has any amendments, and then you know, I suppose we could vote on it and lay it on the table, and then we basically have to wait for the House file. So why don't we, Senator Senjum? I yield to Senator Senjum.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, perhaps so that I might fully more understand, perhaps even the members, maybe a parliamentary inquiry on this one. As we're talking about suspending the rules to the second reading to allow the conversation and so on, that could not result in the final passage of the bill, right? Without a further suspension of the rules?
That is correct. We can vote on it, but it has to originate or go back to the House and come back over, so that'll be the final passage when it comes back. So. Yeah, you're right on your question. Yeah.
So, Mr. President, by doing this, we simply allow for the debate to occur.
That's right. We'll
do it. But we would not pass the bill in any form or an amendment without a second suspension, another suspension.
You can offer amendments, but you can't have final passage. So,
okay.
But we can debate it. That's what I think Senator Pogermiller would like to do, and the rest of us, I think, would like to debate it and keep going. So,
I ask, Mr. President, are there any amendments at the desk that haven't been referred to on the floor at this point?
I don't see any. I don't believe there are.
So, thank you.
So we can continue on. Senator Olson.
Mr. President, I'm slightly confused. Will we be taking another motion to suspend rules before we have final action? Or is this the only one? Once we suspend the rules, then what? Okay.
Yeah, there'll be a second one also. You're correct. Yeah. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd also like a little clarification about what we're doing. Is this bill identical to the bill that the House is taking up? And if so, why would we not wait for that House bill to come over and then have the debate and the vote all at one time rather than take this up now and then take it up second time after the bill comes back? What are we looking at two different bills? Is that the idea that we're going to have a different bill from the House?
Yeah, I think we want to establish a Senate position, but Senator Pogermiller?
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, we would like to go as far as we can in finishing the Senate work, and our hope is the House bill that comes over is the same exact bill. If it isn't, we'll have to get a page and line difference and then decide what to do next. Either take the House language, send them our bill, or amend it differently. Send them our language. It has to be on the House file. And I want to assure members there's no intent to take a House bill that isn't very, very close to the Senate bill.
And Senator Hand, did you have
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Pogemiller. I guess I'm just trying to understand if we're dealing with one bill, if it wouldn't save some time just to have them process it and get it to us so we can take it up and vote on it and pass it. If we take an hour or whatever to vote, debate it now, and then they're waiting for us to get done before they take up the bill, doesn't that just prolong the process? If the bill is going to be identical, let's let it get it over here and let's vote on it.
Mr. President.
They might be looking for some leadership from this body. That's an opinion. Might be my opinion, but
well,
Senator.
Mr. President, Senator Hand, we do this quite often when we're waiting for a House file. Yeah. We do as much of the Senate work as we can do. We take amendments. We get the debate done. We get the speechifying done. Hopefully there won't be too much of that. And then we basically recess until we get the House bill. And if the House bill is the same, we send it back and say, or no, then we just take it and send it to the governor. If the House bill is not the same, we assess what the differences are, and then we make a judgment whether we're going to take the House language or send them the Senate language.
Okay, I guess that's explained it pretty
and
well.
And I believe it's online now, Mr. President.
Yeah, this is not unusual. We do this on finance and tax bills in the past, and it's not.
And I'm asking the desk. I believe it.
It is online.
It is online. And so,
I believe you have to go to the Senate webpage, is what, and then go to the Committee on Rules. I'm told.
Okay, Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Then I would move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File Number 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File 1 its second reading.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Second reading.
Senate File Number 1.
Second reading. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I would yield to the authors to answer any questions on the language of the amendment. And then once we've done that, then I think we should stand for amendments, if there are any others.
Any questions at this time on Senate File Number 1? Any amendments on Senate File Number 1?
Take a roll call on it, and then we're just lay it on the table. Can't even take a roll call.
as far as we know.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to call for about a 5-minute recess so Senator Senjum can meet with his members. 5-minute recess.
Mr. Senator, President, if the Senate Senator. Republicans could meet in a retiring room for 5 minutes or so, we need to talk.
On a motion to recess. On the motion to recess with the call of the chair, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Can the Senate come back into order now, Mr. President?
Senate will come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File Number 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File Number 1 its third reading and place it on final passage.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Mikey. Any discussion on Senate File Number 1? Secretary will give Senate File Number 1 before that, Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, and I guess would Senator Erickson Ropes yield?
She will yield. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, Senator, maybe I was just trying to engross this with the first, with the versions. And I was just wondering if maybe you could explain to me just a little bit the language that was taken out of the first bill on page 20, the sections 1 and 2, and it's kind of, it's about the drought and about some of the agricultural aid. And there's some things that were taken out of the first bill that weren't put into... And to the best that I can tell, reading this quickly, so correct me if I've misread this, but it seems like there's a lot of stuff that left the first bill that wasn't included in the second bill. Not substantial, but deadlines, how applications were going to be handled, and I'm just wondering if someone could just explain it to me a little better so I understand that.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Are there any other questions?
Senator Fischbach, did you wish to...
Well, Mr. President, I guess I understand a little better. We kind of conferred... because I think everybody is kind of moving quickly with the new language, but if I guess Senator Murphy would give a little bit of explanation, maybe I would appreciate it.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President and Senator Fischbach, it's fairly simple to explain. The first language is very prescriptive. What we put into the bill was a little broader, and it gives the Department of Ag the ability to react to things that we might not have thought about yet. We did prescribe several new things in there because those were the things that were brought to us as individual legislators and some testimony that we took, in the weeks past, down in the district. But the simple answer is that the Department of Ag needs to have some flexibility because, and we all know that in agriculture, things change with the weather. And, we want to make sure that they have the tools necessary to do their job, and we don't want to leave anything out of the toolbox.
Further discussion on set file number one. Seeing none, the secretary will consent at file number one. It's third reading.
Senate File 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster relief, providing money to match and supplement federal disaster assistance for property damaged by the floods of August 2007, etc.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File number 1. All senators having voted. Secretary, we'll close the roll. There being 62 ayes, 1 nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I'd move to lay Senate File 1 on the table.
On the motion to lay Senate File number 1 on the table, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
I would then move that the Senate recess to the call of the chair. And we've done everything we can do now, and we'll simply wait for the House to process the bill, to process their bill. Hopefully it will be the same as our bill.
On the Pogermiller motion to recess to the call of the chair, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Are we back in order?
Senate will come to order. Senator Pogermiller.
Do we have any reports from the House of Representatives?
There's messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file. Herewith returned Senate file number 3, a bill for an act relating to elections requiring voting systems accessible to individuals with disabilities in township elections. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster relief, providing money to match and supplement federal disaster assistance for property damaged by the floods of August 2007. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
First reading of House bills. House file number 1.
A bill for an act relating to disaster relief, providing money to match and supplement federal disaster assistance for property damaged by the floods of August 2007.
First reading. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to House File number 1. And that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File 1 its second and third readings and place on its final passage.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Second reading.
House file number 1.
Second reading. Senator Erickson Robes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Lynch and I went over and met with council and some House members. We compared the two bills. There were a handful of differences. They were minor and technical, and we can deal with some of these things at a later date or just accept their language. So we're comfortable with the House file.
Any discussion on the bill? Discussion. Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File Number 1 its third reading.
House File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to disaster relief, providing money to match and supplement federal disaster assistance for property damaged by the floods of August 2007.
Secretary will take the roll on House File Number 1. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes, 1 nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions, there's a resolution offered by Senator Pogemiller and Sanjum.
Senators Pogemiller and Sanjum introduce Senate Resolution Number 3, a Senate resolution relating to adjournment of the special session.
Senator Pogemiller.
I believe the resolution is simply to adjourn sine die.
That's correct. Notify the governor and the House.
This is to notify the governor and the House that we're going to adjourn sine die prior to adjourning
sine die.
That's
correct.
Yeah. On the motion?
All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform you that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is about to adjourn the 2007 special session. Sine die. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Is that it? Now he's got the motion. Is that it? Without objection, those asked to be excused, special session, Senator, for periods of time, Senator Johnson from 5 to 5:40, Senator Sparks from 5 to 5:40, Senator Rest from 5 to 5:30, Senator Scheid from 10:20 to 10:45, Senator Prettner-Solon from 11:05 to 11:20, Senator Anderson at 1:05 on. I think we're ready, Senator.
Mr. President, I will hold the motion to adjourn for announcements.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are going to reschedule the airport tour for tomorrow, so anyone who is planning to come on that, including staff, we hope you will get that message to them. Thank you very much.
Any further announcements of Senate interest? Further announcements of Senate interest, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I want to thank the members of the Senate for their hard work and staff of the Senate for their hard work. And I move that we adjourn sine die.
On the motion to adjourn sine die, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The Senate's adjourned.